And now we're ready for that great 25th verse, whom God has set forth, talking about Christ Jesus in verse 24, remember? Verse 25 now, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. First of all, the word hath is scratched. Don't need it. Christ Jesus, whom God set forth. And that word set forth gave me the great key of the understanding of so many things in this verse, or in this section. First of all, these words, two words, set forth. This is the third person singular, second aorist, indicative mood, middle voice. Now, to many of you, that doesn't mean much, does it? That's all Greek. But boy, when you work the integrity and accuracy of the word in its minute detail, that is just a fantastic thing. A third person singular, second aorist, indicative, middle. The Greek word for set forth is the word protithemi, spelled protithemi. T-H, long E-M-I. And in checking that word, set forth, it is the word foreordained. Whom God foreordained. Set forth is foreordained. Pro-ti-themi, foreordained. There, in his Greek-English lexicon, on page 552, says, quote, purpose, or determine, end of quote. Whom God purposed, whom God determined. And the word determined is the same general basic truth as the word predestinated. Whom God predestinated. See? Being justified freely by the grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God foreordained. Whom God purposed. Whom God determined. Whom God predestinated. Now you take a look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 19. With the precious blood of what? Christ. I'm in 1 Peter 1, 19. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without what? Who? Verse 20. Who? Christ verily was what? Foreordained before the foundation of the what? Jesus Christ was for what? A mediator between God and men. Who? The man who? He was foreordained. Now get your Young's Analytical Concordance. Look up the word foreordained. It's on page 366 of your Young's. Go down in the first column on 366. You'll find the word for what? Ordained. To begin to know beforehand. Then it's the word prognosko, or the Greek, but they only transliterated P-R-O-G-I-N because they didn't have any more room in the line. It's used only one place where? 1 Peter 1 what? That's just the word I read from 1 Peter 1, 20. And yet, in the margin, whom God has set forth, it is in the margin the word foreordained. But in the King James, it's not foreordained. in Romans. It is the two words what? Set forth, you understand? But on the margin, it's foreordained. The word foreordained that I read to you from Peter is about Jesus Christ, who was foreordained before the what? He was set forth before the what? Now, go up two words from foreordained. You have the what? Word for what? Knowledge. Prognosis. And they only got it into English with P-R-O-G-N-O. They didn't have enough room. And go up another word. It's the word what? Foreknow. And there they didn't even have room to put any English. It's again prognosko, same root. And there it's used in Romans. Foreknowledge is used twice. Now, go to the back of your concordance, to the lexicon of New Testament Greek, way in the back. Look up the word prognosko, P-R-O-G, page 87, third column. Everybody who has a concordance, look it up. Third column, page 87, into the Greek New Testament lexicon at the back of your Young's. I told you this was a fantastic piece of work, Young's Analytical. You can just check and double check. First word is prognosko, P-R-O-G-I-N-O-S-K-O. That's the Greek word. It is translated foreknow how many times? Foreordain how many times? That's the one we read in Peter. K-N-O-W how many times? Know before how many times? And prognosis. And it's translated foreknowledge how many times? So foreordain is foreknowledge. Whom God foreordained, set forth. God in his foreknowledge. God is omniscient. That means all wise. You kids say all smart. God is omnipotent, all powerful. He's omnipresent, everywhere present. But he's omniscient, all wise. God knows your end before the what? Beginning. He knew there'd come a day when you would hear the word, you'd believe the word when you heard it and get born again. How did he know this? Because of his what? Foreknowledge. Prognosko. Pro is before, gnosko is to know. Man does not have foreknowledge. We got better hindsight than foresight. Sometimes our hindsight isn't too good. Even after we make all the mistakes, it still isn't too good. But God has foresight. If I had foreknowledge 40 years, 50 years ago, I could have written that on such and such a date and such people would be present sitting at such and such places in the auditorium. Why would I have been able to do that? Because of my what? I don't have foreknowledge. Boy, this is fantastic. Whom God set forth, foreordained, foreknew. Then how was Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, how was he with God? In his, you said it, in God's what? Ephesians says you were also with God in his foreknowledge. Because you were with him in his foreknowledge does not make you God. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus Christ was foreordained in his fore what? Knowledge does not make Jesus Christ what? He is the Son of God. But he was with God in his what? That's what you have to rightly divide, or Romans doesn't work for you. Whom God foreordained, foreknowledge. To be is in italics in Romans, right? Scratch it. Whom God foreordained a propitiation. Why was God able to foreordain or predestinate Jesus Christ a propitiation? Because of his forewhat. He knew that when this Jesus Christ would be born of Mary, he knew before the foundations of the world that he would believe to buy up, to pay the price, to always do the Father's will, so that he could redeem and deliver mankind. That's how great that verse is. To be a propitiation. Propitiation is the word, Greek word, spelled H-I-L-A-S-T-E-R-I-O-N. See, it's not only the propitiation, the payment to redeem, to buy up, but he is the payment to set free, to deliver. God foreordained this Christ Jesus to be the propitiation. The other use is in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9, verse 5. And over it the cherubims of glory, showing the mercy seat of which we cannot now speak particularly. This word, mercy seat, is the word hilasterio, meaning propitiation. Now you will wonder why. It's really neat. Whom God foreordained, a mercy seat, a propitiation. The reason mercy seat is this word is because in the temple, the mercy seat was covered with the cherubims. And when they offered the sacrifice, the blood of the lamb and so forth, once a year in the Holy of Holies, on the Day of the Atonement, it was poured out on the mercy seat. Jesus Christ foreordained a mercy seat, a mercy seat. The blood poured out, the sacrifice. It's really something. It means to cover. God covered for Israel in the Old Testament because of the mercy seat. The propitiation, whom God set forth, foreordained a propitiation through faith. These words, through faith, the word through again is dia, faith is pistis. These two words are omitted by the Codex Alexandrinus. I personally will go with the omission. If you like to keep it, it's okay, I can handle it. But it's so simple and so direct. If you just read it, whom God foreordained a propitiation in his blood. In is the word en, E-N. By his death. It is by the apolutrosis of verse 24 that I covered with you. Deliverance from the guilt of sin. Redeemed by a price paid. God foreordained a propitiation, a mercy seat by the mediator. The mediator, Christ Jesus, by his death. By his blood, by his death, to declare. The word declare is manifested. The preposition to class is the word eis, E-I-S, which is for, equals for, meaning immediate purpose. For the immediate purpose, declare is the Greek word endexis, E-N-D-E-I-X-I-S. And it's the same truth as the word manifested of 3:21. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. It's declared. Propitiation by his death. A declaration to declare. A declaration of his, God's righteousness. For is the preposition dia, which is the prospective cause. For, dia, prospective cause, or because of, or for the cause of, prospective cause. Remission, remission of sins, you see that? Remission of sins. Remission is the Greek word paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S. The ordinary used word for remission is the word aphesis, A-P-H-E-S-I-S. And the usage of this word paresis here is almost unbelievable. Aphesis, A-P-H-E-S-I-S, means a release from sin. Paresis, P-A-R-E-S-I-S, means a passing over. Propitiation by his blood, by his death, a declaration of God's righteousness. With the prospective cause of passing over. Exodus chapter 12. Chapter 12. Verse 7 first. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and up the upper door posts of the house, wherein they shall what? Then verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token, a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the what? Blood, I will pass over. Pass over, that's this remission. I will pass over. You and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you. When I see the blood, I will pass over. To pass over is this word, paresis. Paresis. Remission simply means Passover. It's covered with the blood, with the blood. It's covered with the blood. It's covered. It's the mercy seat. It's covered. And he just what? Passes over. Remission of sins passes over. Remission of sins. It's plural, S-I-N-S. The remission of sins is not the root. Sin is the root of sins. It's not the root that this word paresis, passing over, not at the root, but the consequences of sin. The root is sin. The consequences of man's nature, sins, S-I-N-S. Paresis, a passing over of the sins, the consequences of sin, man's nature, that are past. Progenomai, P-R-O-G-I-N-O-M-A-I. Meaning previously committed. Having been committed previously is his literal translation. See, by his blood, a declaration of God's righteousness passing over the consequences of sin previously committed. Through, and the word through is the word en, E-N, in, the forbearance. And the word forbearance is the Greek word anoche, A-N-O-C-H-E, long E. Meaning self-restraint, to hold back. Sins that are previously committed in the forbearance, in the self-restraint, in the holding back of what? God. Because God, being a just God, Israel blowing it, the Jews having the law but never able to live up to it. That's why it talks about remissions of sins that are past. That's the law. In the self-restraint, in the holding back of God. You see, sprinkling the blood on the lintel and the doorposts is uniquely significant because basically, it is not in the works of sprinkling the blood, but in the believing of doing what God said that he covered for them. That's the mercy, see. It isn't in the works of the law, but is that they believed that God said, you sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and the lintel. It's in the believing, not in the works. Sins that are past, previously committed, in the forbearance of God. Self-restraint. Same word in 2:4, chapter 2, verse 4. Romans. Despisest thou the what? Riches of his goodness and what? And long-suffering, forbearance. Despises the riches of his goodness and his forbearance, God's self-restraint, God's holding back. You know what man deserves? Nothing. Because man always screwed up God. He always blew it. Man doesn't deserve a lousy thing. But God, in his forbearance, in his self-restraint, all sin come short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption in whom God foreordained a propitiation by the blood of Christ, a declaration of God's righteousness for the passing over of the consequences of sin that are past because of God's self-restraint. This is Israel, Jews, in verse 25. Because the words to declare in 25, the preposition to is the preposition what in 25? Eis, I told you, E-I-S, right? Now verse 26, same English word to declare, but entirely different preposition. The preposition to is the preposition pros, P-R-O-S, meaning ultimate purpose in the usage here. Class, God's main purpose of the coming of his son was to fulfill the law, to redeem Israel. That was the main purpose. Jesus Christ came unto his what? See it? That's that verse 25 in Romans. main purpose was to fulfill for sins that are what? That's Israel under the law. Main purpose was to fulfill the law to Israel. But in the foreknowledge of God, that included, verse 26, to declare ultimate purpose. I say is in italics, scratch it. To declare ultimate purpose, a declaration of, I gave you a little while ago, remember? A declaration of, ultimate declaration. At this time, his, God's righteousness, that he who, God, at this time, God's righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Now, this takes a little working, but it's again real simple. You have to put your head in it. God's righteousness, that he, God, might be just and justifier of him. The word him is the word ton, T-O-N. The one, which literally means everyone, which believeth. The word believeth is the word pisteos, P-I-S-T-E, long O-S. It's a genitive singular. I will put this together for you, literally, from the accuracy of the text. And this is to the Gentiles, verse 26. God's righteousness that he might be just, justifying him, everyone, by the believing of Jesus. The main purpose was to Israel, right? But God in his foreordained foreknowledge already knew he had an ultimate purpose. That's why he used the word pros for the preposition to in verse 26. Ultimate purpose. To declare at this time God's righteousness, that God might be just, justifying him, everyone, by the believing of Jesus. See, the love of God provided the ransom. God so loved. Provided the ransom, his son. God's righteousness required that the ransom be paid, which was accomplished by the free will decision of his son, who always did his father's will. To Abraham, God supplied the ram. Here, God, the love of God, provided the ransom. To redeem, to buy back, remember? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of what? Through the blood of Christ. See, the love of God provided the ransom, his son. They kidnap people and then people have put up a ransom, money. God provided the ransom, his son. He's the just and the justifier. See? God as the justifier provided the ransom, his son. But because he is also a just God, and the price has to be paid, God's righteousness required the ransom be paid. But because of his foreknowledge, he knew that Jesus Christ would always do his what? Now you see how beautifully that all fits. You don't, but you'll wake up some morning. Just think it through, people. God's righteousness required the ransom should be what? He provided the ransom in his only what? Now, his righteousness to be both the just and the justifier, God's righteousness requires that the ransom be paid. Now, the true God never possesses. He never controls a man's will. But in his foreknowledge, he knew that Jesus Christ would always do the will of the Father. I and my Father are what? Oh, people, someday you've got to see that. He is God's only begotten Son. Did he have the privilege of blowing it? Could he have sinned? But God in his foreknowledge knew he would. He would always do the will of what? Don't you see it? That's why God's righteousness required the ransom be paid by the free will decision of his Son. He supplied the ransom, but he knew his Son would always do his will. He never possessed him. He never controlled him. He knew that by the freedom of his will, he'd do it. It's like Mary. God knew in his foreknowledge that this woman, beautiful Mary, would come along and believe. I heard either Craig or Roller say to you that today that you beautiful women are still made the same way Mary was. Then why don't you have a Christ? Because God's word is he's only going to have one only what? Begotten. Now you got it? Yet every one of you women are constructed the same way physically that Mary was. The reason you're not having a Christ is because he was only going to have what? And in his foreknowledge, he knew that Mary would by the freedom of her will believe. And it was she who said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." The freedom of the will. Because of God's for what? He may be waited thousands of years, but that's okay. It was in his foreknowledge he knew. Because, class, the true God never possesses. And therefore he waited until the time when he knew in his foreknowledge a woman would say, "Be it unto me according to thy word. I'm the handmaid of the Lord." And she brought forth a son named Jesus Christ. And God in his foreknowledge knew that he would always do the will of God. That he who has seen me, Jesus Christ, has seen the Father. He declared him, hagekomai, made him know. One mediator between God and men, the what? And that's why you and I can be born again today. The greatness of it. Well, now we go to my casual remembrances. Just statements that still thrilled my heart. And Romans 1:17 must never be forgotten, because this section that I've now dealt with is a continuation of a takeoff from there. For therein, verse 1:17, the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? God's righteousness was manifested apart from the law in 3:21. Without the law is manifested. The righteousness of God that I just read to you now, and the glory of God in verse 23, which is apart from the law, in between the righteousness of God in verse 22 and the glory of God in verse 23, is the sin between them. For all have sinned and come short of the... Got it? For all have sinned. These words, God's righteousness, his righteousness, and the righteousness of God must all be considered together in Romans. And I'll give you the reference. Romans 1:17, which we read a little while ago. Chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 21, 22, 25, 26, and Romans 10, 3. The righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith, pistis, believing, are brought together in Romans 10, verses 6 to 10, which I want to read. But the righteousness which is of faith, believing, pistis, speaketh on this wise, saying, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth, even in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, is entrusted with righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made what? See, the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith are brought together in Romans 10, 6 and 10. The righteousness of God to the sinner transcends all righteousness of the law. You remember the record in John 1, 17? For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, true grace, came by Jesus Christ. Romans 3, 21 and 22, direct contrast the expressions apart from the law through faith, believing of Jesus Christ. Direct contrast, showing law is ruled out on the great basis and foundation of the believing of Jesus Christ. The word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, word believing. In Romans chapter 4, verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of that pistis of our father Abraham, which he had being yet what? Uncircumcised. The Hebrew word corresponding with the word pistis of the Greek is the Hebrew word emunah, E-M-U-N-A-H, meaning believing, trust, which issues in being faithful or steadfast. If you believe, to believe is a verb connotes action, and if you believe, you will be steadfast, you will be faithful. The cognate word is the Hebrew word amana, A-M-A-N-A-H. Check the usage. In Habakkuk 2:4, that's where you have the just shall live by believing. 1 Samuel 26:23, 1 Chronicles 9:22, 2 Chronicles 34:12. Psalm 33:4, Nehemiah 9:38. The dual meaning of Romans 3:22 and 26 is the just, the sinner who has been justified and is now just, shall live after his believing, after his being justified, by his and by my faithfulness, believing faithfulness. The faith of God, Romans 3:3, is closely aligned with the words, the truth of God, of Romans 3:7. It's Christ believing, not my believing in Christ. That's the great foundational cause of the glorious gift of the gospel. Whether I believe it doesn't make any difference. It's Christ believing. Abraham believed and operated before the law of Sinai. Christ, the true seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15, and the true seed of Abraham, Genesis 12:7. I told you this thing would be sort of just rambling on my mind. We're back to this word pistis. The Hebrew was E-M-U-N-A-H, the cognate, A-M-A-N-A-H. Believe, trust, which issues in being faithful. Remember that? Just did it. Now I went through and checked the, quote, pistis of, end of quote, in the New Testament. Give you all its usage. Mark 11:22. Now you'll have to check the parallels in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke. I didn't do that. The believing of or pistis of in the New Testament. Acts 3:16. Romans 3:3, 3:22, 3:26, Romans 4:12, Galatians 2:16, Galatians 3:22, Ephesians 3:12, Philippians 3:9, Colossians 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Verse 5, verse 7, and verse 10. And finally, James chapter 2, verse 1. In Romans 3:22, the quote, righteousness unto all, end of quote, ignores all distinction between Jew and Gentile, circumcision and uncircumcision. But it is not upon all, except they believe and get born again. Believing implies obedience. Quote, faith's obedience, end of quote. And I'll give you the reference. Romans 1 verse 5, which is the first usage in Romans, and 16:26, its last usage. Righteousness by law or works would be our own. But the righteousness of God is only through the believing obedience of Jesus Christ. The glory of God that we had earlier always has the hope at the root. I always found the hope at the root. Romans 5:1-2. Rejoices in hope of the glory of God. When I told you a little while ago, verse 25 was sins past, 26 Gentiles. Abraham looked forward, saw his what? Day. Saw his day. Had the hope of the coming of Christ. And that's how God reckoned righteousness unto them. When you work this down, which I did today, that is why Israel is going to be resurrected and the body of the church is only going to be raised or changed. Our believing, pistis, parentheses faith, and hope are activated by agapeo, love of God. All three are possible because of the resurrection. Christ raised up by the glory of the Father so that we may walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. And from this walk of believing in the now, we look forward in hope to the, quote, liberty of the glory of the children of God, Romans 8:21. Moses prayed to God, show me thy glory. And Exodus 33:23 says that God showed him only his hind parts, his rear. If this made Moses' face to shine, like the word said it did when God passed by, how great and magnificent, how effulgent, illuminating, bright and radiating, it's all like adjectives I could think of, must be the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember Moses coming down from the mount with the big ten? His face was so bright they couldn't look at it. People, if it was that, and all he saw was God's hind part, it says, what about how great the glory of God must be in the face of Jesus Christ? We must discard all belief in aught else but our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, himself as our righteousness, our acceptance with and before God. Anything less comes far short of the glory of God. Anything more is impossible. And on that verse 24 on the word freely, I finally made some of these notes. Man's justification is God's act of grace. Divine, undeserved, unmerited favor, a gift. No strings of works pulling it down to man, or strings attached pulling it up. That is, as to have more grace standing. Check Matthew 10:8, John 15:25, which I did, 2 Corinthians 11:7, Galatians 2:21, 2 Thessalonians 3:8, Revelation 21:6 and 22:17, and Romans 5:15 and 16, where the word again, dorian, D-O-R-E-A-N, talking about a gift, doria, D-O-R-E-H, or dorema, D-O-R-E-M-A, or doro, D-O-R-O-N,
all derived from the Greek word didomi, D-I-D-L-O-M-I, which means to give, to give. No definition of grace is satisfactory that does not include the free gift, the antithesis of wages, earned by works, Romans 6:23. A gift without repentance, no strings attached, Romans 11:29. Salvation by grace, not of works, Ephesians 2:8. The total essence of love, which God is to give. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Galatians 2:20, Ephesians 5:2, and verse 25.
Justified freely, literally is gratuitously, without a cause, by God's grace. The free gift of righteousness of God to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is freely covered and provided for in the one great gift of God, his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we close reading Titus. Timothy, Titus, chapter 3, verse 6. He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our what? Which I just told you. Verse 7. That being justified by his what? We should be made heirs according to the, here it is, hope of what? That is it.